You've heard of BetaShares. You've probably seen the logo on our podcast. You might even be among their 1 million investors. So you can imagine that I'm delighted to say BetaShares is the official ETF partner of the Australian Finance Podcast. With nearly 100 exchange-traded funds, you can go to betashares.com.au and immerse yourself in ETFs and unique insights covering all of the sectors, themes, core and satellite positions you could want. Think cybersecurity through the HACK ETF, robotics and AI with the RBTZ ETF, and uranium with the URNM ETF. The list goes on. To explore the BetaShares ETF range, visit betashares.com.au, read the relevant PDS and TMD on the website, and consider if the fund is right for you. BetaShares Capital Limited is the issuer.
Hey there, here's a quick note. This podcast contains general financial advice only. That means it's not specific to you, your needs, goals, or objectives, so don't act on the information until you've spoken with your financial advisor. You'll find our full disclosure, disclaimer, and link to our financial services guide in the show notes.
Hello, I'm Kate Campbell.
And I'm Owen Rask.
And you're listening to the Australian Finance Podcast.
A podcast where we talk about money, finance, investing, and all that good stuff.
We're helping you invest your time and money better one podcast episode at a time.
Yes, so please subscribe if you like the series. And don't forget you can find us on social media. We're on all the platforms. Kate, where can people go?
You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Rask Australia. That's R-A-S-K Australia.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Owen Rask on Twitter. Or Owen Rask AU on Instagram. Beware the imitators. People like to copy us. Without further ado, let's jump in to today's episode. Kate Campbell, welcome to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast.
Wonderful to be back for another episode of our summer series.
Yes, indeed. Special guest, Tash Invest. Tash, how are you?
Good, good. Stoked to be here.
Yeah, in Melbourne.
Yeah. Back again.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure to record in person with you. And there's been a lot going on with you last year. It's great to see that everything that you're doing, the brand, got licensed.
Yes, that was very exciting.
Yes. So big things to come throughout 2023. So it's awesome. And today, Kate, we're talking about savings accounts. We're talking about transaction accounts.
Yep.
Bank accounts.
Yep. All of those stuff that you do in January to refresh what you spent during 2022 and think about maybe your budget for the year ahead. And potentially if you're in the best spending slash transaction account, we're having a debate off air about what we should call them, and whether you're in the best savings account and getting the best interest rate for your hard-earned cash.
Yeah, this year is going to be more important than ever because for the first time, we enter a new year with decent interest rates. So people can actually shop around now and get pretty good rates on bank accounts, like traditional bank accounts or term deposits or a mortgage, really anything you want to be shopping around right now. And so we're going to mention four banks. No affiliation to KDRI, I don't think.
No. I've worked with one of them before, but not now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they're pretty good banks. They are regulated. So that's one thing we look for, is to make sure they're legitimate banks. And you can check that on the ADI website, which is a authorized deposit taking institution website. You can check to see if your bank is covered by a government guarantee of $250K per bank. Kate, where do we start?
I think we should just start before we jump into those names in what we look at when we're just picking a transaction account or a savings account. Like, what would you be looking for, Tash, if someone was thinking about moving to a new account this year?
I used to look for the highest interest rate and the best savings account, I guess. But now I kind of look for something that's easy and, yeah, makes it really easy to look at and go through and has nice spending reviews and just does like a better user experience. But previously I was all about no fees and highest interest rates and moving around all the time.
So now it's about like the analytics and like the things that help you make better decisions with money?
Yeah, or like just like making it easier, better automation. I can see things straight away. I'm not like adding friction to try and sort out my finances or look at what I'm spending on.
Yeah.
Automation is probably one of my favorite features that some of the newer banks have started to add, where you can instantly split your paycheck or set up transfers to happen once a month or automatically pay your super. Like, I don't know if you still automate your finances.
Yeah, yeah. I'm old school. I'm still with ING though.
Yeah.
So I just do the old, like, it's not so much automation. Like, it doesn't trigger, like, if this happens, do that. It's more just like regular and recurring in nature. So every month, do this with money, not wait for this to happen, then do that. You know, that's what I have on the investing side with Perla. I have that, but not for the bank accounts. It's pretty simple. Like, my life, it used to be really complicated. I used to have like 15.
What was that, Kate?
He was talking the other day about how he had 99 linked offsets to his offset.
Yeah, that's...
Sorry, 99 linked transaction accounts to his offset.
Yeah, so they're offset accounts that you can do things with. That was 99. That's with Bank of Melbourne / Westpac / St. George, depending on where you're hearing this from. So, yeah, that's different. That's not... That's purely just for the mortgage. Like, shop around for the best rate on your mortgage. Like, that's a save you a ton of money. But for bank accounts and transaction accounts or spending accounts, depending on what you use... That's all with ING still for me. Who knows? I could be converted to go to Up in time. But right now, that's all I need. My financial picture is incredibly simple. So
I definitely made a mess of mine initially, trying to have every single account ever and moving everything around. But now it's getting more simple and it's definitely a lot better.
Yeah.
Do you use separate banks for your spending and your savings?
Yes. Yeah, I've got my savings still in Westpac because I used to have such a good interest rate and haven't bothered moving it yet. And then I've still got ANZ as like my main transaction one. And then I've got Up, which I really like for all the different savers as well. So there's still money everywhere, but it's not as bad as it used to be.
Mm. Yeah, I'm definitely a fan of simplifying things. Once you've tried everything out and you know where you like to keep your money and your spending in your savings account, it's a good idea to simplify it so you don't have all these accounts floating around.
Yeah. Who do you bank with? We've told you ours, now you tell us yours.
Well, I used to save with Up, but now I use my offset account with CBA because that's who I've got my home loan through.
Very exciting.
Yes.
Oh, my home loan's with Suncorp, so another one there.
A little bit different.
Oh. Yeah.
Four banks.
Sorry?
Four banks.
Yeah, sorry, it's not as simple as I thought it was.
It's unraveling.
The home loan just sits off. I don't touch that.
Yeah, well, I was a big fan of using all those separate savings folders in Up to have one for my Christmas presents and one for gifts and one for education. And I had lots of subfolders. Whereas now that I've put most of the money in my offset and it's all in one account, I think I can explore having some different offset accounts, but it's been different psychologically because I didn't have the money set aside in separate accounts. So I don't think I've liked having all my savings in just one account.
Horses for courses?
Mm.
Yeah, fair enough. I like that. Yeah. I like having one big savings pot and then just the transaction off to the side.
Yeah.
Like having like the middle ones, you've got your big savings, like an emergency fund or whatever, and then having the more shorter term savings in Up where you can actually see it and like visualize it a little bit better. Because if I can't see it, I just forget it exists sometimes. Fair. I got a new credit card actually with a different company and it wasn't linked to my ANZ. And I spent way too much money on that because I couldn't see it the same as my ANZ credit card. So that was a nice highlighting moment to be like, cool, it should all be in front of me so I can see it.
Did you get rid of it, that one?
No, I just set up automatic transfers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it pays it off automatically now.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's interesting. We all do things slightly differently.
Yeah, I get my pay into Up and then that splits a little bit and then I can add to my super from there.
The pay splitting feature is really cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Can you, when you do that, I obviously don't know much about it. When you do that split thing, will that send money to other bank accounts, like outside of Up, or do they try and restrict it to just inside Up?
I've only done it within Up.
Yeah, it's within Up because you can set a percentage or a dollar amount to split that paycheck, but you can also just set that manual transfer that every month on the first, $200 goes from Up to your other account.
Okay, interesting. So
a little bit more manual because they're trying to encourage you to spend and save in the same app.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah, cool.
Keeping you all in one spot. But maybe we should share some of the banks that we...
Sure, I think we've mentioned...
we've probably mentioned all of them. But I guess Up's one of the ones that stands out to me because you can split your paycheck automatically and it really focuses on making you save for things.
Mm.
And I like they introduced their May Buy feature.
That was awesome, yeah.
Did you go to the launch?
Yeah, I went to the launch of that. That was really cool, yeah. So definitely a lot better than all the buy now, pay laters out there and really advocating for that. That was awesome.
Yeah, I liked it because like they're like save up for what you want and then maybe you'll buy it.
Yeah.
But you don't have to buy it. You might change your mind over 6 months as you're saving up for that thing.
I love how it's like you two explaining it to me and I'm like, yes.
Middle. I'm sitting here with my ING.
I will never leave. No matter what you say.
Have you opened enough account?
No, I've heard it's very easy.
Yeah, and occasionally they
can
give you a free coffee.
Yeah, that's cool.
If you buy a coffee in the morning, sometimes they just say, coffee's on us and automatically send
promotions
you the money
all the time. They gave me $8 for my recent anniversary because I've been with them for like 4 years. They just sent me an $8 gift. It's crazy.
Cool. Yeah. I just find it easy to transfer because I used to use Beemit a lot to transfer money to friends and family. But now, since most of my friends and family are using Up in some way, we can just use each other's Up usernames to.
Yeah, and you can request money as well. So if someone owes you money, you just send them a little annoying request notification. So that's a really fun feature. Hmm. And like little GIFs or GIFs, whatever you call them, that's cool too.
Yeah, I just like their focus on encouraging people to save money. And they give you a lot of insights as well. So like I was looking before and I've, in my two favorite coffee shops in Melbourne, I've spent over $1,000 on coffee this year, cool. which is when cool. people say.
Different opinions. Wow.
You know when the people that say don't buy a coffee a day and you'll be rich? I mean, if you invested $1,000 every year instead of having the coffee, like you'd probably be a lot better off. But the coffees were enjoyable experiences.
Well, think about how like underperforming you would be mentally. You need that coffee.
Yeah. Like, podcasts would just be a disaster without coffee.
Yeah. We would be asleep at the mic. So I fully back you into spending this money.
Yeah. And I and Up's good for using international. So you don't necessarily have to.
Yeah. I used it in Bali recently. Yep. Recently in May. Yeah. It was really good.
Cool.
It was cheaper than some of the other travel cards as well with their exchange rates and they didn't charge fees. So that was quite fun.
Did you experiment with a few different cards and see?
Yeah, I had like a Qantas one as well, a travel card, and I had a credit card as well at the time and I used a few and it was just interesting to see how they were all quite different in their exchange rates because they kind of be like, oh, you have no fees, so we're the best, and then you use it and it's not really.
Yeah, they're just clipping the spread.
Yeah, and if you're moving around a lot of countries, you don't necessarily want to buy hundreds of dollars in each of the currencies. So you can use Up to just transact when you're overseas and they give you the spot rate.
Yeah, ING also has free ATMs.
One last thing about Up, their budgeting within the app is really cool as well. You can actually set budgeting limits, which a lot of other banks you can't do. So all in one, it's great.
Cool. So Up's a good one for spending. Savings, good. Sometimes you can find better interest rates around. So it's good for the goal setting, but potentially if you're just putting a big pot of your emergency fund, you might want to shop around for interest rates. Do you want to talk about ING now?
Yes, go on.
Sure. Yeah. Originally from the Netherlands.
Really?
There you go. Yeah. Oh. Same color as the Dutch soccer team. And that is it. That's all I've got for you.
Wow, fun facts. And free ATMs overseas.
Free ATMs if you're in.
Well, they rebate the ATM fees, don't they? Is that what they do?
Yeah. So it's, as you've got here in the notes, Kate, OG Barefoot Reco. So it was it was most well known a few years ago for the Scott Pape connection.
Yeah.
Not that there's any affiliation there, just that he talked about it because it had good interest rates and it had basically no fees. So it was like the original in that sense. It's got it does everything that you would want. So like from a basics perspective, it's got Apple Pay. You can, do automated transfers or recurring transfers.
Doesn't everything have Apple Pay these days?
Well, they took a long time to adopt to that.
Okay.
And so ING was one of the first.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah. I think ANZ was the very first in Australia. And then
Apple Pay was only working with ANZ for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's because all the big banks didn't want to put it on because it costs, right? So they didn't want to do it. So that's a big thing. But yeah, the app's super easy to use. If you do use the desktop or browser version, again, it's really easy to use. They don't have branches. They've only got like the one place in Sydney, which is all managed from. So that was what originally enabled them to lower the costs compared to everyone else. And they are a big bank globally, so that's why you get a lot of that international.
Can you actually talk to them if they don't have branches?
Yeah, you can. Because
I found some. ANZ is interesting to call, but Up is really cool because you can just message them.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've spoken to the ING team quite a few times because I actually...
Yeah, I believe they have an Australian customer support team.
Yeah, I spoke to them for my mortgage and they're like, well, we can probably approve you just through the app.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they were like, well, I made the application. They're like, oh yeah, we can see everything. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
So they're just like, yeah, we could probably do this like just right now in the app. I didn't end up going with them.
Too easy.
Yeah, but that's what they all push, right? Like,
yeah.
I think you had like CommBank pre-approval within like 48 hours or something.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the pre-approval was done, I think, in 2 hours and I just had to send some paperwork to finalize some of the evidence documents.
Really?
And then once I had signed the contract, the finance was approved really in a few days.
So. Yeah, whereas a lot of them, like a lot of the big banks in particular, just like so slow.
Yeah,
mine took like 3 weeks to come through as well, but that was in the middle of COVID fun.
Yeah.
Because I was going to use a mortgage broker, but they were just taking a long time. And so I went straight to CBA and it was done so quickly.
Yeah, because they love it when you go direct and not through a broker because the brokers negotiate for the discounts.
Yeah. And I compared rates and things and I was getting the best one for me for what I was getting at the time. So
cool. Yeah. So ING.
Yep. Simple. Works.
You get bonus interest on things if you make a certain number of transactions. You just got to be careful. Read the fine print with all this stuff. But
yeah, ING is, when I've been looking throughout 2022, they've had some of the best interest rates around on their savings account. It was just meeting the criteria that was a bit of a hassle.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Do you have to have a minimum spend as well to not pay fees on ING?
Yeah. Well, it's like a minimum, I think it's a minimum amount of money coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to do a certain number of transactions. Yeah. But like you guys talk about emojis for art. Well, you know, ING is the only one that has a lion, so.
A lion. A lion emoji or just a lion?
That's a logo.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, so.
What a cool feature.
It has a logo.
That's a great feature.
It's the bare minimum. Well,
I know another one that's quite popular is Ubank. I've had a look at it. I don't use it personally, but I know a lot of our community do.
And a barefoot thing as well. He talked about Ubank, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he talked about it like as a no-frills online.
Because they don't have a lion logo.
They don't have a lion, so they can afford it.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it takes to get that lion to sit there? And anyway, so.
Ubank, they bought 86400, which is the neobank. So they've integrated that technology in. So Ubank is now actually very fresh and modern and has heaps of budgeting features and all that cool stuff.
This is totally off direction for the podcast, but why did they call that bank 86400?
I think it was the number of seconds in a day.
Yeah, it's some time thing like that.
Week.
Wow.
You're putting me on the spot.
Did you know that already, Owen?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I did not know that. So.
Let me ask you a fun fact that I know the answer to.
Rhetorical questions. So interesting. They often are very competitive on mortgage rates, which is really appealing because you don't get that in-bank cost, basically. It's owned by NAB, which is a feature for some, because then basically what happens if, say, like Bank of Melbourne or St. George is owned by Westpac. If you then go and apply for something else through those, any of those, they're all kind of under the same umbrella. So it's a bit easier for them.
Yeah, definitely a bit underrated, having everything together and making it a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. And that can also have downfalls. Like some people go with banks that they think aren't affiliated with the other bank they're trying to leave. Or like if you have the $250,000 deposit guarantee, that's only per customer per ADI.
Okay, Pearl Bank, yeah.
Yeah, so in this case, I think they might be split out, but maybe not. So that the way you check this is you go to that website, the deposit guarantee, and you make sure that Ubank and NAB would be on there. But if it's only NAB, then it's only through that like affiliated network of NAB banks. Hmm. Yeah, so that's just something to keep in mind.
Yeah, interesting. When I have over $250,000 in cash.
Yeah,
you don't.
Future problems.
Yeah, that was actually $500,000 or $1 million during the GFC when everyone was really scared. The government stepped it up and said, we will back even more of these banks for more money, just so people wouldn't switch and break up their money and try and put it in different banks and all that sort of stuff. And then over time, it progressively came back down as like the dust settled a bit and people weren't as scared.
I feel like 250 is pretty generous limit.
That's a lot of cash to have.
I mean, if it's going to go broke and you've got 500,000, it's probably going to go broke even if you have 250. Like it doesn't, like it's just a psychological number, I guess. And it's to say,
we need to have trust in the banking system. Here you go.
Don't go and pull all your money out. It'll still be there tomorrow.
Don't put it under the mattress.
Yeah.
Don't bury it in the backyard. I've heard that one a few times.
My grandma, who survived the Holocaust, used to bury cash in jars in the backyard. I'd be like in the veggie patch when I was a kid helping her like dig up things and just be like random jars of money.
My grandma has online banking now and she shows me her interest rates and she's pretty excited about it. Cool. Look at all the interest I earn.
Nice.
Yay.
Got her on online banking. Mine's past the point of online banking, but she did like to hide $100 notes in clothing and shoes. So when you're tidying up her stuff, you find things everywhere.
My grandma likes to do kind of the point hack stuff. So she sent me Qantas points for my birthday.
You have a very savvy grandma.
Yeah, my grandparents are doing very well. My granddad still works and everything.
Under 90?
Like in their 80s. Okay. My granddad's 84.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, he's in a structural engineer and still designs cranes. So
awesome.
They're doing quite
well. At 85.
So good.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brain's still firing.
Yeah, just don't quit your job. Just keep going.
Yeah, it probably helps. Yeah, it does. There's actually studies that link, as you'd know. There's studies that link like mental health and things like Alzheimer's to gainful employment.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's a big reason to keep working after 65. Even if you retire, do something.
There you go. Fun fact for the day.
There you go. This is now a medical podcast, Australian medical podcast.
You know, the fun of the director ID everyone had to set up? Yeah. He couldn't do it because he was too old and he had to call the ATO because the birthday only went to like 1940 or something. And he was like, I can't do it.
Yeah. That's great. That's
so he needs to be more accessible, I think, the ATO.
Come on, ATO.
Yeah.
They listen to this podcast.
So my hint, you're not being very inclusive.
Yeah. Okay. So.
All right. And the final one we've got on our list for today is CommBank, which is one that most listeners will have heard of, the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, CBA. We did an episode in 2022 on CBA.
Mm. I emailed CBA the other day. Thank you to the media relations team. Very lovely, very politely let me down that we could not have Matt, who's the CEO, come on the podcast.
That is devastating.
I know. I wrote such a good pitch and I was like, come on, Matt.
What did you say? What were the reasons?
Well, I even said one thing. I was like trying to draw connections. Like when you try and land the big fish, you're like, you know, it's cool. You know, we're on the same level kind of thing. Anyway, I emailed because I was actually on Sky Business and he was on Sky Business in the same segment. Oh, so I was like, you know, we were on it together.
We're pretty much the same.
We're pretty much like, bro.
We'll come to your office. We'll be there.
Yeah, just why don't you come to us actually? Take some time out of your day.
Yeah.
You might have like 16 million customers, but I mean, come on.
We'll buy your girl for lunch. So it'll be even.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, oh, it's totally a $180 billion market cap company.
Yeah, that's it. Like, just get around it. Didn't happen.
No.
But
maybe in the future once we grow.
Yeah.
A bit more.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
2024 goals.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I've used CBA, CommBank a lot more in the past. I've used CommSec quite a bit in the past because I had the Dolomites account. So it was kind of just a natural progression, which is what they want out of you. But I've used it because I had the home loan with CBA and I got that last year. I've been using their accounts a lot more because just setting up your mortgage repayments out of the offset, and I just kind of set up all my bills to go out of the offset. They have quite good features with like spending predictions and knowing how much you've spent, and you can kind of see your entire net worth picture in one spot. So, and they've also got a lot of in-app rewards and benefits. So it does encourage you to shop in the app. So potentially you don't want that because they're starting to personalize it. So I was getting certain offers for shops I'd spent money at recently pop up like 10%, 15% discount. So it'll be interesting to see what they do because they're integrating a lot of things into their marketplace. They're trying to build out sort of a marketplace ecosystem where you can get, like when I got the home, they're like, we can also hook you up with our partner to get your internet and phone plans set up, and you can get your electricity at a discount and all those things that they're integrating.
I have a CBA account as well because I used to have CommSec and things like that, and I had a business account with them for a little while.
Is that five or six now?
It's too many now, but I don't use it. I don't actively use it anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just contradicting myself a lot here. I had to try every bank ever. Well, how can I recommend things?
Well, that's it. Fair enough. Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the silver donut's good for that as well, being Macquarie.
The silver donut?
Yeah, it's the logo. It's the silver donut.
Yeah.
Welcome to Logos with Owen.
No, we pointed it out when we did the Macquarie review episode last year and people liked that.
Yeah. It's looks like a silver donut.
I can't picture it right now.
I'll get it up on the computer.
It's black, and then there's a silver
donut
shape on top of it, and it says Macquarie.
Oh. Well, I just Googled silver donut. Why don't I Google
Macquarie? Macquarie's had some really good interest rates on their savings accounts as well recently.
Yeah, I have seen that pop up.
Yeah. Macquarie's good. I'd say Macquarie's similar to ING in the fact that it's really simple, it works.
So it doesn't look like silver here, but in person it looks silver. And it's because, Kate.
It doesn't look like a donut at all. It just looks like a circle. Oh,
we wrote it all down. It was about like the coin and they cut it out to make two coins. So there's more currency.
Yeah. So this is the coin here. You can see, Tash. And we might have to put this on the screen for folks watching Monique. But this coin, they bought coins. I think it was from Spain. They brought coins over to create currency in Australia.
Mm.
I think this was when we're moving away from gold.
Yeah.
And they didn't have enough of these coins. So what they did is they just cut a little coin out of the big coin so they could have two, one with a hole in it and one little one.
Yeah.
And so that's how they created the currency. And so that's where Macquarie gets its logo from.
I love when you look at a logo, you're like, oh, it's a circle. And then you hear the story behind it and you're like, wow, that was really thoughtful.
Yeah. It actually makes sense all of a sudden.
What? Yeah.
The universe.
You just pick the circle?
Yeah. Well, that's so this, back to the silver donut marketplace.
Yeah. But I'd say the one thing about CBA is they have been pushing like through the app. And through emails, I'm getting emails about getting personal loans, credit cards.
Yeah, I've gotten personal loans as well, which is
great. Using their Buy Now, Pay Later service, which is if you don't want that stuff getting pushed on you, if you're in a place where you might take it up or something like that, I'd say potentially
go to Up, maybe.
Using a bank. But who knows? Up might add They added home loans.
Listen,
home loans,
every not... bank could be expected to do this.
Yeah.
I don't like the advertising, though. It's like, hey, do you want a personal loan?
Yeah. ING car insurance. Hello.
Yeah. Car insurance is okay. Everyone needs car insurance, but not everyone needs.
But they get you through. This is the rule of thumb. If you already have one thing with the bank, you can almost bet that the thing that they're trying to sell you is not a good as good of a deal as you could get elsewhere.
Yeah.
So they play on this thing called loyalty tax, right?
Yeah, or they're just pushing their buy now, pay later affiliated service quite hard. Like they're giving you a big offer to sign up, which you I don't really want to be sold something through my banking app.
Yeah, I don't want it to be easier to get a personal loan that you don't really need and you've just been suggested.
I've got it in the browser and via email and on the app.
Yeah.
Like just click here and you can get $8,000 or whatever now.
Yeah, just quick, easy, done. No,
which is probably my only issue right now with CBA.
You can get a platinum card with a lion on it with cashback rewards.
Wow.
So, how to get Owen to sign up? Different bank accounts. We've talked about Up, we've talked about UBank, CommBank, ING Bank, even Macquarie Bank. You've mentioned a few other names. ANZ?
Yeah, ANZ, Suncorp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've mentioned a lot.
Yeah. All of them. So, I think just having a look where your money currently is, maybe doing this, spending the time this month to do a bit of a bank account, saving account audit and finding out where your accounts are, tracking down any lost money because a lot of people just have a bank account lying around with maybe $1,000 in that they've kind of lost track of because they've opened different accounts. So seeing if you can do any consolidation this month and make sure you're in a high interest savings account and using a transaction account that actually serves you.
A transaction account. Have you been converted? We've
converted her away from spending account. So interestingly, if you're going to do this.
You spend money.
Yeah, but you transact.
I'm transacting with a seller, but I'm spending the money. So I'm calling it a spending account.
Maybe we'll have to poll Instagram and see.
Yeah, okay. Transaction or spending.
Because
you decide.
The next,
let the people speak.
Because our activity for listeners is to do a spending review.
Yeah, interesting. But we're not saying doing a savings review.
Okay, next. Moving on.
So basically, I think that January is the best time of year to kind of just rip the Band-Aid off. If you're thinking about doing this, do it now. Like do it at the start of the year. Start fresh. Do it. It's not going to be perfect. Get a new bank account. Cut up your old card so that subscriptions and all that stuff stop operating. Get rid
Cutting
of
up the card stops your subscriptions?
Well,
you actually have to go and
cancel it. Cancel it, cut it up, whatever.
That's what some people make. They just cut up the credit card and don't actually cancel it.
So they go into overdraft or whatever. Yeah.
So just definitely cancel it then.
Yes.
But now it could be a great time to transition to a new bank if that's what you're thinking about, because then you can start the year afresh and you can kind of have a blank canvas to begin. Like you guys just said, you can still have direct debits and stuff, so you may need to cancel all those with your old bank. You can, if you're old school like me, you can actually request a report from your current bank to see what has already been set up, a list of everything that's already been set up.
Request a report.
Yeah, so you can do it, I think, via the app where you get like a list of all ongoing direct debits.
Okay.
So it actually shows you a list rather than say you trying to guess like what things you've signed up for and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
it will show you. And so you can just go and cancel them if you want to. And obviously the canceling the card and requesting a new one actually triggers like those emails from XYZ website that's like, hey, we noticed your card declined or whatever. So it gives you a chance to refresh that as well.
Yeah. I think it's important not to overthink it too because you could spend 6 months trying to find a tiny little bit more interest rate, which I was doing ages ago, I guess. So just pick one, go with it. You can always change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like all the banks that we recommended, or not recommended, but referenced, they're all Australian like regulated banks. They're all like, if you want to change, you can. There's no like rule against that.
You can just open one of everything. It's fine.
Yeah. I think both of you have been on that journey. I definitely didn't go on that journey, but it seems both of you went on that.
I was definitely chasing interest rates for a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, now it probably makes more sense because there's more interest available.
Yeah, no, I can't be bothered.
So
look at your spending from 2022, go through and try and figure out your rough monthly spending in each category, and then you can use this to inform how you want to spend during this year and what
How should people look at their spending though? Just sit there and stare at their transactions?
Oh.
Well, if you're using a bank like Up or CBA, they might have auto-categorized everything for you, so you can look at how much do you spend on groceries on average each month and figure it out that way. Or you could do it old school and print out 3 months of your transactions.
I don't like to print and have it in paper.
Yeah, you're a highlighter person.
Yeah, then also being able to add stuff in a spreadsheet is quite nice too. So a bit of everything.
And if you go into the online version, most banks will let you download an Excel version of your spending.
One of the things that is really helpful, is just getting that and then being like, oh, does this, this and this line up? We've actually got a link that people can follow in your podcast player to do this exercise, and it's a graphic and stuff. It's really simple. It can be quite revealing though.
Mm.
Like honestly, especially if you find out you spend $1,000 on coffee, you'll be the in-house barista going forward, I think, in the office. But yeah, that can be quite scary. So as Tash said, and I kind of referenced, is just do it. Like, just do it.
Yeah.
And then just get it done. Like, it's...
Or you just can, do a small bit. Like, you don't have to sit down and look at a whole year of spending. I know that can be very overwhelming to start now.
Yeah. Just look at the things and be like, what's happened in the last week or two? And just be like, okay, I can maybe change those two things.
I don't think I got Uber Eats three times this week. Why did I do that? How do we move on going forward? Yeah.
And you want to see that what you're spending each month, is that more or less than what your income is each month? Because that will give you a good starting point to whether you have spare money to save and invest, or whether you're potentially going backwards and using debt or your savings to live each month.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Really making sure you're spending in line with your values as well, because we can sit down and look and be like, yes, I spent $1,000 on coffees, but I think those coffees probably brought you lots of joy.
Yeah. I mean, going forward, I probably wouldn't change it that much. Yeah. Maybe slightly less, but... I probably won't change much of my spending on coffees.
Coffee with friends or coffee at work and
Yeah, I'd rather cut my spending in other areas if I had to go through and look at everything than cut spending on things like coffee and going out with friends.
Yeah. Experiences. Mm. I love spending on experiences.
Yeah. Definitely same. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's a problem with that. I think coffees get the raw end of the bargain.
Yeah, they're easy to hate on.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, it's $5.
Whereas if I go and look how much I've spent on books in the past 12 months, that's a lot more than I've spent on coffees.
That's a terrible thing. Such a terrible... I'm sure everyone's like, Kate's saying books?
I've spent a lot of money on books.
But I
library said, fines?
Other people are thinking about weekends and what they do at night.
Yes.
Kate's like, those darn books.
Yeah.
They're just too good.
Mm. Yeah. So... sometimes you might go, I've spent a lot of money in this place, but I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, I'm still meeting my goals. It's aligning with what I want. I'm happy with it.
Mm. And sometimes you might just go, well, I'm going to increase my income and I'm going to work on negotiating a pay rise this year, or getting a side hustle, or renting out a spare room, instead of focusing on trying to minimize my spending as much as possible.
I feel like there's so much focus on that, cutting out the $5 coffees rather than just making $5 extra a day.
So, there aren't. There are so many activities you can do. You'll find links in the show notes to workbooks and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, and we go through a lot of what we've talked about today in more detail in our Banking and Budgeting RASC Road Trip course that we made with Tash. So that's free. You can get started with that this month. And we have a heap of other free courses on RASC education if you haven't already signed up. And there's a workbook that you can go through and do a spending and saving review as well.
Yeah, super simple. Tash was the genius behind all this. You can complete them in... less than one sitting, these courses. That's what they're designed for.
Wow, so much fun. No, it's actually really cool. It's a good time.
No, it is great. Yeah, so you'll find links to that in the show notes.
I mean, 2023 is a fantastic time to take control of your finances.
Yes.
Anytime is a fantastic time.
Anytime. You'll get confidence. You'll feel empowered. You can do all those wonderful things that you wanted to do.
Yeah, but it will be hard.
Appreciate them.
Yeah, hard and then great.
Hard and then great. Yeah. You'll appreciate the good things
slow
more.
Slow burn. There we go.
Slow.
But it compounds. It gets better. And money grows. Tash, people, if they wanted to get more involved in what you're creating and what you're doing, where would they find you?
I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Tash Invest. Mm-hmm. And I share lots of random fun things, so you can come hang out there.
Yeah, cool. Hmm. Sweet. And hopefully we'll see you on the road in 2023.
Yeah, definitely.
To catch up again and to do things together and help spread the word of financial literacy and help people understand their money, their finances, and just lifestyle as well. So
yeah, very exciting.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to have you back in the studio. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Kate, as always, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Australian Finance Podcast, where our mission is to improve the financial futures of all Australians. If you'd like to learn more, create a free account at rask.com.au/account to download free episode workbooks, bonus resources, and take our amazing free personal finance courses.
You can also join our online community by following the link in the description. If you enjoyed the show, what we'd love is for you to leave us a snappy review on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at RASC Australia. Kate and I are also on both of those channels. Finally, if you have any feedback, suggestions for episodes or guests to come on the show, or you just have a question for us, shoot us an email at podcast@rask.com.au.
InvestSmart's portfolios are turning 10. And to celebrate, 10 InvestSmart boot camps are up for grabs. This self-paced online course is ideal for both seasoned investors and those who are just starting out. Valued at $99, you could win a spot on this highly rated course. To enter the competition and for terms and conditions, simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Don't miss out on this chance to learn from experts and take your investing to the next level. Simply visit investsmart.com.au/win. Good luck. Thanks for listening to this podcast. Before you go, I wanted to share some things with you. Specifically, I wanted to tell you about the 10 ways that Rask could help you in 2024. As many of you know, Rask has grown to become one of the biggest investing and finance platforms in Australia. Across our podcasts, our websites, our memberships, and so on, we now engage around 200,000 Aussies, which, considering we started in a humble lounge room on a Kmart desk, one of those old fake white wooden ones, I'm pretty ecstatic about where we are 6 years later. As part of becoming one of Australia's biggest platforms for wealth creation and preservation, we now have a very special position in the country in that we can bring you some of the best, most thoughtful, expert-driven ways to protect and grow your wealth. And I'm going to share some of those with you now. I've got 10 ways that we can potentially help you or match you with someone who can. The first thing that I want to tell you about is the biggest step we've ever taken at Rask, which is the launch of our Rask Invest platform. This is a platform that lets our team, led by me, invest for you, primarily through low-cost, diversified ETFs. We'll have three strategies at launch, and every investor who comes through can pick one of the three strategies, being a balanced strategy, a growth strategy, and a high-growth strategy. The balanced strategy focuses on passive income, and the high growth strategy focuses on longer term compounding. You will find a link in your podcast player to register your interest. We will be taking off soon. Number two, if you prefer to DIY your investing, you can join me and over 4,000 members inside Rask Core. That's our full ETF and ASX share research membership community. You can join now, and you'll get updated ETF portfolio recommendations every quarter, as well as ongoing ASX and global stock research. Every single month, we call them the All-Star Stocks. You get that alongside the ETF portfolios, as well as other members-only content. It's called Rask Core. Number three, our first ever partnership with a business other than our own was a business by the name of Blusk, which has since become Flint Group. Flint Group is led by Chris Bates and Christian Stevens, two of Australia's most highly regarded mortgage brokers. Already over 200 Rask community members have begun the Rask plus Flint Group mortgage broking process. You can click the link in your podcast player if you're refinancing, investing, a first home buyer, or whatever. You've probably heard Chris on the show many times. Number four, you can connect with our most trusted financial advisors. Whether you're 25 years old, just graduated uni and looking to set yourself up, or approaching or in retirement and you've got that nest egg you want to protect and generate a passive income from, you can get in contact with our trusted panel of financial advisors. You can find the link in your podcast player. It's there each and every week. Just click the thing that says financial planning. Number five, if you want specialist insurance advice, as Warren Buffett said, rule number one is don't lose money. And rule number two is don't forget rule number one. Insurance is vitally important, especially when it comes to your number one asset, you. Whether you're a single income household or a couple, and you just want to protect what would happen if. You want to protect your family if something goes wrong. You want to protect your spouse if you lose your job. You want to protect yourself if you hurt yourself on the weekend at footy. Insurance is a way to do that. And I think the best way to do insurance is through a financial planner. And there's a few reasons for that. But one of them is sometimes some insurers will only work with financial advisors, but they can also be your companion as you go through the sometimes daunting process of getting insurance done properly. Sometimes you might not even know, but you're not even covered, even though you think you are. So get the right advice. You'll find a link in the show notes to check that out.
Number six, buying property. If you're like me and you're thinking of buying property in the next 12 months, or maybe you've already invested and you're looking to downsize, getting the right advice and being able to build wealth through property is a proven strategy. It might be one of the most contentious, but I think that we have one of Australia's best property coaches in our ranks. That is Pete Wargent. Pete is the host of the now super popular Australian Property Podcast by Rask, and he's also my analyst team's macro consultant. So if you're a member of Rask Core, you will have seen Pete's name around the traps. He's a property coach and buyer's agent, and he works with a select number of people each and every year. Just a note on this, this is not a commercial thing with Pete. Pete just has great services, so we offer them to the community. And when he fills up, he fills up. You can find out more about Pete's coaching in the show notes. Next up, tracking your portfolio for tax? I think you are, because I think you have to. So we've partnered with Nivexa to help you manage your share and ETF reporting, whether it's tax or performance. All Rask users get 20% off an annual plan with Nivexa. You can sync your portfolio with Nivexa's software, and it automatically tracks your dividends, your capital gains tax, and more. Again, not a commercial partnership. We don't make anything from working with Nivexa, but they do create some great tools which the Rask community uses each and every day. Number eight, want to run your own business? Maybe you already do. If you want more profit, but less stress, less time consumed, and less energy lost, get in contact. We have a partner business called Inflection. The Inflection Accelerator Program is a complete online course that helps you and a community of members engage and follow a proven strategy for growing your business. I'm grateful to be one of the coaches inside the Accelerator program, helping business owners right across Australia. You can find more following the link in your podcast player. It's the one that says coaching. Number nine, if you haven't already checked it out, join over 20,000 other people who tune into the Rask YouTube channel. It is completely free and you get notified when we go live and when we publish podcast episodes. There is a podcast on the Rask network each and every day, as well as bite-sized material that's less than 60 seconds, or those really punchy tutorials and webinars that are just 15 minutes that take you through a really exciting topic, whether it's how to buy a property, whether it's how to pick a dividend ETF. Some of our most popular content actually just explains things like, what the heck is franking credits and how do I calculate if I've got some? That's on our YouTube channel. Number 10, if you want to be a better investor, a saver, a better partner with money, or just understand your own relationship with money, you can do that. All of that by going to the Rask Education website and taking a free course. We've enrolled over 26,000 students at the time of this recording, and we are on a mission to get to 100,000 in the next few years. Rask Education is our mostly free education platform, covering everything from budgeting and automation to the probably, I would say, the best value investing program in the country. So whether you're a value investor, an intermediate investor, you want to know how to value Woolworths shares, or you simply just want to understand what ethical investing is, or buy your first property and what actually happens on settlement day, head to the Rask Education website and enroll in something today. It is free and it supports us, because then I can come on here next month and I can say we've got 27,000, and hopefully we reach critical mass where we can help more Australians manage their money better. Thank you for listening to this long-winded ad. If you want to get in contact with me, you know where to go. There's a link in your show notes. Basically, these 10 services, even though some of them we don't make any money from, support Rask and allow us to produce these podcasts, attract the biggest and best guests from Australia and around the world, and bring them to you to answer your questions. Thank you for being part of the Rask network, and thank you for your ongoing support. Bye for now.